Well, as I'm sure you all know by now, July 18th through the 28th, a group of us went down to San Luis Potosi, Mexico. We actually went to Pavon, which is just a smaller town. San Luis is a city of about 2 million. But we went and we returned completely safe and unharmed, which is a complete blessing. Kim Bayline, however, was a little upset. She slipped me a 20 before I left, saying, if you could leave one of them down there, that'd be... That wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but no, we arrived completely safe, and I absolutely love it down there. My heart goes out for the people of Pavon, for Pavon Christian Church. I really, over the past 9 years of my life, I've fallen in love with this community. And I was terribly excited when I found out that we might be able to take a mission trip there, and my old youth minister called me and said, hey, I'm thinking about setting this up. Is this something you'd like to get involved with, something you'd like to be a part of? And I thought, absolutely, 100%, no doubt in my mind, we have got to take a group down there. I would love for these high school students to experience what I've experienced the first two times I've been in Pavon. Absolutely incredible. Pavon was a place... where I met my wife. I met Shelley. I was there with my youth group, and she was there with her youth group when we were sophomores in high school. And that's where we met, and she just fell head over heels in love with me. And we, here I am today, actually celebrating our one-year anniversary today, which is pretty cool. So thanks. She is actually homesick today, which is always a bummer, but... probably sick of the past year that we just had together. Pavon Christian Church is also the place where I decided to go into the ministry. I've talked to some of you before. When I went into college, I went in there for criminology. I was going to follow in my father's footsteps. I was going to study criminal justice. And it was my sophomore year of college when I was there, and I realized, you know what, I'm being called elsewhere. I'm being called into the ministry, and a lot of wonderful past experiences I have, they go around Pavon. They go around Pavon Christian Church and San Luis, and the people there, and the ministry there. And so when I was presented with this opportunity, I was just absolutely ecstatic. I was so excited to be able to take a group of youth from MCC down to Pavon. I didn't know what to expect at first. My youth minister said, we have 20 spots. We currently have 7 people on the trip from Marysville and other places. So that leaves 13 open for you. And I thought, there's no way we'll be able to fill 13 spots. There's no way. I've only been here 10 months. There's no way I could get the support from the youth to go after only being here 10 months. There's no way I could get the support from the parents to let their children go. I just don't think it's going to happen. Well, sure enough, a week later, I announced to everybody we're going to be doing the mission trip. And a week after that, I had 13 spots on paper, which was just incredible. Shelley, myself, and 11 other students. And it was about a week after that where I was approached by another student and his family. He said, listen, I really want to go on this trip. I really, really want my son to go on this trip. And I said, you know what? At this point, I have miscalculated in numbers. And I said, yeah, we have one spot left. No problem. Next day, I started reconfiguring everything, and I thought, oh my gosh, what have I done? We do not have any spots left. I called the family. I said, listen, I'll do what I can do, but it's not looking promising. I know the plane was already getting pretty booked. And so I call the airline, I call the travel agent, and they said, well, let's see what we can do. And we have one spot left on this plane, and it was like, you've got to be kidding me. God, you are awesome. So we got him a spot also, and it was from that point where I realized this trip is going to be incredible. God is definitely at work already on this trip. I was so excited to be able to take our youth from Miami Town, from the Cincinnati area, take them out of their comfort zone, quote unquote, and take them into a third world country, a place that Most homes don't have running water. We went to one place where they have a tub of water on the top of their cinder block 10x7 homes that's filled once a week. And that water is their food water. That it's their bathing water, their cooking water, their cleaning water, you name it. It's this little tub of water on top of their house, their home. And I was so excited to see them out of their comfort zone into situations they weren't used to. Anyone who's been on a mission trip understands probably more than anybody else how spoiled we are here in America. The fact that we can go home, if we're too hot, we can adjust the thermostat. If we're too cold, we can adjust the thermostat. We can open our fridge that's full of food. We can go to our sink where we have running water that's clean that we can drink. We can drink, no problem. I need some water right now. We have cupboards just full of food. We have cars that can get us where we need to go. We have money to pay for the gas. We are so incredibly spoiled. And I was just excited to see these guys out of their comfort zone, to see how they would react, to see what they would do in these situations. And I couldn't help but be reminded of Nehemiah. Somebody who was living the good life. He was definitely a displaced Jew, if there was one, living in the king's palace. He was the cupbearer. He was the guy who tried the wine every time before the king would try it. This is obviously a man the king trusted. This wouldn't work if he didn't trust Nehemiah. But there was one day where Nehemiah's friends kind of came around, and Nehemiah asked a question that changed his life forever. He asked how Jerusalem was doing, how his friends back in Jerusalem, and they said, listen, it's not good. It's not good at all. The walls are still down. We still don't have any gates and this and that. They're living a shameless lifestyle. It's just not good. And immediately, his heart went out. Although he was 1,000 miles from there, his heart was not. And he knew what he had to do. Now granted, it would have been very, very easy for him to stay where he was because he had it good. He was in his comfort zone. He had everything he needed. But he decided to go with the calling of God. And from that moment, great things happened in his life because he left his comfort zone. So all that was going through my mind, and I was just terribly excited for these students because I knew what was about to happen. I knew the impact they're about to have on this community, on this church, on these kids, and I knew the impact that was about to take place in their lives. And I couldn't wait. I was so excited. We never know what we're going to get into when we go there. This was my third year there. Like I said, I went as a high schooler. I went as a sponsor in college, and now I got to go as a youth minister. We never know what we're going to get into. Being out of our comfort zone, basically we are there for them. We are there. Whatever they tell us to do, we're going to do that for them. If they need help over here, we're over here helping them. In years past, they've had us build buildings. They've had us build bunk beds and paint and all types of manual labor. This time we got down there and we said, Amy, listen, tell us what you need to do, and it's done. And she said, well, we really just have a real little bit of painting. But here's what I need you to do. I need you this week to love kids. You don't have any huge physical tasks for you guys to complete. No buildings we need built. We simply need you to love kids. These kids are coming from broken homes. They're coming from parents. Most of their parents, believe it or not, are involved in gang activity. Come from homes who have never heard the love of Jesus Christ. They're coming from homes who their parents don't show them the love that they need, that they deserve. She said, this week, we simply need you to love on these kids. So we replied back, if you need us to love kids, that is what we're going to do. And we spent the 10 days we were there just hugging on kids and playing with them. and teasing them and tickling them and laughing with them and joking around with them, playing games, you name it. We were there for these kids. What we're going to do right now is I'm going to say a quick prayer, and we have some students here that just want to share their experiences with these kids. We want to share what happened at both VBSs we put on. They want to share about the people down there. They want to share about their personal experiences. This trip was absolutely incredible. I thank you guys so much for your support and your prayers, all your donations that were made the past couple weeks before we left. Really, we thank you guys tremendously. I just wanted you guys to know a lot of amazing work was done while we were there. And you guys can give yourselves a pat on the back too, because we could not have done it without your support. So I'm going to pray, and I'll let these kids kind of share with you guys some of their experiences from the trip. And I think at the end of today, we're going to give just a few minutes for you guys just to ask them questions. They're going to mingle through you guys and just talk their ear off. Any questions you have, anything you want to know, just ask them, because they are ready to talk about what went on this trip. Let's pray. Father God, you are an amazing God, and I love you so much, Father, and I just thank you for all the blessings that you gave us the past several months, just to give us the opportunity to do your work outside of our comfort zone. It might have been scary for some of the youth. It might have been a little nerve-wracking to leave the country for the first time for many of them, not knowing what to expect, just putting their faith in you. Putting their faith in you for our travel, for our safety down there, for our health. Father, I thank you for taking care of us while we are there. And most importantly, I thank you for the lives that were touched. I thank you for the smiles on those kids that just broke my heart every time. They are living in vicious life cycles down there, Father. They grow up and just fall right into the footsteps, right into the bad habits of their parents. But because of you and how amazing you are, we were able to give them something they're not used to. We were able to show them love and comfort. We were able to tell them that the lifestyle that their parents are in does not have to be the lifestyle that they fall into, Father. That there is something so much greater, so much more powerful out there, which is you, Father, and your love. I just thank you for everything that you bless us with. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
To talk about the VBS that we were a part of in Mexico, and took place in Pavon. We had 315 wonderful, energetic kids. And the day before VBS started, all of us as a group went out and passed out invitations. And one thing that really touched me was that no one said, no, we don't want it. Everyone took it. And at the VBS, some of the guys shaved their heads. They did this because if we had 300 kids, they would shave their heads. And we had 315. So Jason and Scott and Taylor shaved their heads. It was really funny. These kids in Pavon were so heart-changing. They touched my life in so many ways. They made me look at my life in a different way and make me thankful for what I have. Thank you for your guys' support and prayer. And we couldn't have done it without you guys. Thanks.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know, my name is Scott Kelly, and I'd like to share with you guys about a VBS that we put on in one of the poor areas of San Luis Potosí called The Mission. As you turn down a dirt road that led you to the little village that we held the VBS in, you pass the houses that Jason spoke to you guys about. They're merely one room big, 10 by 7 feet, with maybe 40 gallons of water for a week, and that's all you had. every 20 feet you drove, you probably saw one or two stray dogs or stray cats. It was really sad. And the missionary, Amy, spoke to us about how these kids only got maybe one VBS a year, and that's probably all the church they would see. So it was really happy to know that we could bring that to them. Each night we started off VBS by singing a song or two, and one of my favorite songs, one of my favorite memories from the trip was Heaven is a Wonderful Place. We'd have a contest between us and the kids to see who could shout the loudest and get, I guess, as loud as you could. And they'd sing it to us in Spanish, and we'd sing it back to them in English. And it was really good and comforting to know that these kids would have those lyrics in their heart for at least a couple more months, just because we took the time to scream with them for a little bit. After VBS each day, after singing each day, we had a Bible verse time and a story time and a craft time where the kids got to learn about God. And afterwards, we handed out a toy as the kids were leaving. Most of the toys are very small and cheap, maybe a toy from Wendy's or a toy from McDonald's, but one night we handed out Frisbees. They were probably the cheapest Frisbees you could get, but to these kids, it meant everything. They played with these toys for the next half an hour with us until our bus came, and as we were driving away, I looked back, and I just remember probably 25 or so kids still playing, still having fun, throwing the Frisbees in the air, because that was one of the few toys they had. And even the next day, some kids would bring theirs back to VBS. And that was really heart-touching to know that we could bring that to them. I'd like to thank you guys for helping us do that with your prayers and financial support. It was an awesome experience for our youth group to grow closer, and it meant a lot to us. So thank you.
I wanted to share with you about some of the people that we met down there. How would you describe the people down there? They were very generous. They didn't have much to share, but they shared everything that they had. And they were very kind, and they showed compassion to all of us kids. And they were very welcoming, and they treated us just like royalty. It was really amazing. And they were a very open family and very patient. Even beyond the language barrier, they just took time to help us fit in. One story I want to share with you is we were eating dinner one night and we were talking about getting ice cream afterwards. And so Brujito said that if we were all good, then we would get ice cream. So everybody was trying really hard to be good and not get into trouble. And later on, he came back and he brought us ice cream and we were all excited. And just little things like that were just happening all the time in that trip. And it's just really touching. Right now, my mind's overflowing with all these thoughts and memories from this trip, and I could share with you about the people and the places, but I can't impress upon you the joy and the happiness in my heart right now. We have so many stories about other people going on mission trips and everything that they're sharing with us, but you can't really truly know what it's like until you actually go on one. And we all anticipate and have preconceptions about what the trip will be like, but until you actually go, you don't really have an idea, and after you go, it's really amazing. And I believe that when I went to Mexico, I would just use my talents and, you know, give them everything, and I wouldn't get much back, and people were telling me, you know, you'll get more than you gave, and you really do. You give, and you work and hard, and when you come out of it, it feels like you received more than you could ever give them. And it's really amazing that even as youth, we can use our talents and to just impress people with God. So thank you. And
good morning. My name is Keith Grupenoff, and 2 weeks ago, we went to San Luis Potosí down in Mexico for a mission trip. And while we were down there, we ran two VBSs, one for the church we were mainly at, and then for the missions later on that night. But while we were down there, I had noticed that they don't have nearly as much as what we do. And it was just really amazing for me to see how much fun they were having with as little as they did. Soccer down there is their, like, their country sport, and it's really big down there, and we played that a lot. And one day we went to this all-day camp, and we were playing down there, and we had kicked it into the cactuses and ended up popping, but the kids didn't care. They just kept playing with a flat ball, which was, it was just, it really surprised me on just how much they didn't care and just kept playing. But one of the things that touched me most was when we went down there, we took a lot of stuff, toys and stuff, but we could also leave some of our clothes and that we took down. And I took down a brand new pair of basketball shoes, and the thing is, like, the Mexican people are a little bit smaller, so my shoe size didn't really fit any of them. So I asked Amy, and she was a VBS organizer. I asked her, I said, who do you think is going to be able to fit in these shoes? And she goes, well, maybe one of the fathers might. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I never thought one of the grown-ups would want none or any of them. So I went up, and I asked this one guy, and his face was just so happy to see that someone would offer him a pair of shoes. And he was all real excited. He's like, yeah, yeah, I'll take them. I was like, wow. And it really put a smile on my face to see that he had a reaction just as much as the kids would. And also, we, like Scott said earlier about the Frisbees, it was pretty funny because we, like they said, they weren't the best of Frisbees, but they just, like, treasured them with all their love and everything, and were playing with them nonstop, and we came back every day. And that's all they would have. Like, when we pull up in the bus, they'd have their Frisbees and be throwing around each other and asking us to play and that. Except for the action in Spanish, and I didn't understand what they said, so. Like, yeah, okay. But other than that, I had a really fun time, and I just want to thank you guys for all your prayer and financial support, making us be able to leave the Frisbees and have a good time as we did. Thank you.
That means good morning in Spanish. No, actually, that means hello. But, yeah, you see, let's just start off by saying 3 years of French in high school doesn't work too well in Mexico. But, yeah, I just want to let you guys know about my personal experience in Mexico. And like Jason said before, how they had 13 kids and 20 spots available. And I was the last one to get on board. And it was a blessing because, actually, there were no spots, as he told you, and somehow I got on, and I thought to myself, you know, I got in late, but if I wasn't supposed to do this, then God wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have blessed me with this, and it was unbelievable when my mom told me that, and everything down there, you have to see for yourself. Words can't really do it, and everything from singing and screaming, which some of us lost our voices trying to outscore them kids, which is impossible. There's too many. And, cleaning, sanding, painting, you know, the bus rides, the market, and soccer with them kids. And let me tell you about this soccer. Down at the church, there was a big wall on the side, and it was kind of like the out-of-bounds. And it was kind of like the Sandlot, if you can picture that, if you've all seen that movie. And every time we played soccer, that ball would go over that fence. And, you know, just like Sandlot, game over. And, I don't know, just the people and the kids down there, their facial expressions when you would do stuff for them. And Burrito and his family just nonstop giving us what we need, food, you know, everything. And it was, before I left, I was at my buddy Justin's house, and he said, don't drink the water. And I got down there, and no, don't drink the water, seriously. You don't drink the water down there. They just don't do that. And I thought to myself when I came home after we all left, how I went to the faucet, and I turned it on, and how blessed we are in this country that we can actually drink our tap water. And, you know, some of it might not be that clean, but, you know, depends on where we live, but it's a lot cleaner than what people have down there, and people have no idea how blessed we are in this country and everything that God has provided for us. And I just want to thank everybody for their donations and their prayers and the safety from there and back. And I just want to thank Jason and Shelly. And it was just an unbelievable trip. And I just want to thank everybody.